We continue with the series on Galatians that we've been doing, and we're in Galatians chapter 5. I don't know whether it's up there, I won't be looking at it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Freedom is a pretty emotive word in the world today. Even as we sit here, there are people dying in the supposed name of freedom. And our country has a pretty strong history of so-called conflicts for freedom. And freedom, of course, raises all sorts of questions. One of them is free from what? The letter to the Galatians has already given us some context, and it's going to go on giving us more context. Free from the law, and in that case, the law of Moses. Here were a whole lot of non-Jews suddenly coming to salvation in Jesus. And here were a whole lot of Jews who had also come to salvation in Jesus, but who were seeking to impose on these non-Jewish people the law, the Mosaic law. And Paul is saying, no, our salvation is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. When I was a small boy, I can remember being told by certain members of my family when I was being particularly naughty that if I behaved in that way, I would never go to heaven. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all good children go to heaven. It's not true. Praise the Lord, it's not true. And I hope you never say that to your children, or to your grandchildren, or in my case, to my great-grandchildren. That's what the Pharisees thought. This man cannot have come from God. Look at the company he keeps. On the other hand, there's a murderer and a terrorist hanging for his sins upon a cross. And Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Our salvation is not dependent on how good we are. Our salvation is dependent solely on Jesus Christ, on him crucified and risen from the dead. And this is what Paul is trying to be so strong about. It's a tremendous temptation, I think, for Christians even today to say, thank you, Lord, that I am not as other people are. I do all sorts of good things. I mean, goodness me, here I am on a lovely Sunday morning sitting in a scout hall in the Strand. I could be at the beach. I'd be up that mountain. Oh, I'd love to be up that mountain. But I am not dependent on my goodness. I'm not dependent on the law. I am not dependent on being with liberty this morning. I'm dependent on Jesus and him crucified. And because he died, I am free. You see, the idea of all good children go to heaven means that if I'm not good, well, where do I go? There's one other place, of course, I could have gone to. But Paul writes in another place, there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. When I die, I'm not going to go to hell. That's a very arrogant statement. It's not actually. It's what Jesus did for me. I'm free. And I hope that you feel that you are free. When I became a Christian, I was at what the insurance people call at the height of the testosterone bump. Which meant that in certain areas it wasn't terribly easy to be a good boy. But I discovered that in Jesus I could be free. That there was victory. That somehow they entered into me. I didn't want to go on to what whoever's going to speak next week says. I've already had Matt phoning me in great agitation and saying, I hope you're not going to say next week what I'm going to say next week. I said, I can't guarantee that. But I discovered that there was, with that freedom, a power which came from the Lord to uphold that freedom and to live in it. Many of you will probably know the hymn, "Be of sin the double cure, save me from its guilt and power." You see, being saved from the guilt of sin is a fairly easy thing. It's like Jesus saying, which is easier, to say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? It's actually pretty easy to say your sins are forgiven. But to say, get up and walk, that's another thing altogether. It's easy to hear Jesus forgiving my sins. I can feel actually pretty arrogant about it. But when the Lord, by His Spirit, enters into the experiences of our emotions and our will and our actions and feelings, and we suddenly discover that there is a power to lift me up, to set my feet in the right direction, and to walk with me. You know, the Father doesn't say, go out and do this. The Father says, I'm doing it already. Will you join me? And that's freedom. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not trying to work off some debt that I owe. The debt's been paid. Do you know that? I am free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And notice, please, the freedom is not something I've achieved, or you. It's Christ who, by His death and resurrection, has set us free. He alone. And Paul goes on to say, by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. I believe, and I know that you do, many of you, that when Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished, it was a cry a victory. This is what I came to do. I came to bring eternal salvation to these people, to fill them with my Spirit, to enrich their lives, to give them direction, to empower them for it, and ultimately to present them to my Father in heaven. Father, these are yours. That's what Jesus came to do. I believe that. And I hear that cry from the cross, it is finished. And I know what it means. It means, Jesus, you did it. There is no longer any condemnation for me or for those who are in Christ. We are free. Hey? We are free with a freedom that this world doesn't know at all. And that affects what I think of other people too. My brothers, you were called to be free. So get out there and you can just do as you like. No, that's not what Paul, that's not what the Spirit says. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. We've all done that. Rather, serve one another in love. What am I to be free from? What am I to be free for? I'm given freedom to serve you and others are in this community in love. In another place, Paul writes, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? God forbid. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Oh, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Are you living a new life? Sunday, believe it or not, is the first and not the seventh day of the week. You're about to enter a new week. Is it going to be a new life as well, or is it just going to be a repeat of last week? Please know that the Father, by his Spirit, is calling you forth into a new life, a new experience, new relationships with other people, new opportunities. You're free. You don't have to fear making a mistake. You're free. You're forgiven. You can go out there. No, you can't do what you like. You can't. But what you can do is to move as you are moved by the Spirit. And if you make a mistake, perhaps a serious one, my brothers and sisters, you're free. Stand firm. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You're not slaves anymore. That's what we heard last week in Galatians. The Spirit of God enters us and we look into the face of a Creator God. And that can be very frightening. But we suddenly find our freedom. And we look into his face and we say, Father. Because that's what he is. My child. Please enjoy your freedom. Please don't fear making mistakes as you seek to obey the Father. Those mistakes have been dealt with. Please know that he gives you the power to live a new kind of life, a free kind of life, a life when you speak for him and do things for him, he takes hold of that and he uses it the way he wants. You don't have to be on tenterhooks the whole time saying, oh, I hope this is right. I hope if I say this, I'm not going to offend anybody. If you're speaking in the Spirit, if you're speaking under the prompting, if you're doing things under the prompting of God's Holy Spirit, he takes care of the rest. The trouble is that we are so often scared to speak and to act for God. We're afraid of what might happen and what the reaction might be. In Jesus Christ, my friends, we're free. Whatever other people may do, however they may react, if we are believing in Jesus and acting towards them in love, he is responsible for what happens from then onwards. You can leave it with him. You're free. You can watch him change your work situation. You can watch him change your home. You can watch him renew your life. You can watch him lead you into new relationships. You are called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. You're trying to get to heaven by being good people. You can't. Jesus has done it for you. But in response, you love others as yourself. It's a response for what God has already done. Go out into the world from here to live and work to God's glory, for him to enable him to build up his kingdom, and it's a free kingdom. It's not a Ukraine. It's not Gaza. It's the kingdom over which your Father is the king. And we're going to remember now that that great act which, as Glenn reminded us, makes all things new. If any person, if you are in Christ Jesus, all things are new. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. It's not what it says. It says if anybody's in Christ, everything's new. Everything. You are, people next to you are, your situation is, everything is new if you're in Christ and can move into the freedom with which Jesus has set us free. There is wine and there's bread at the back. Would you please get that for yourselves and come back to your seats? I want with this bread and this cup for us to remember and to establish ourselves in the reality of our faith. There are at the back there some of my my friends who come from Limpopo. And there we have a cry. Christia Huili. Christia Tochili. Christia Tatakabi. Christ has died. How sad. No, no. Hallelujah. Good Friday. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us celebrate our freedom. Father, thank you that because of Jesus, because of his death, his resurrection, and the promise of his return, we are able to stand in humble confidence before you and to offer you ourselves. Send your Spirit upon us, please, Father. Fill us. Fill us with a spirit of worship, spirit with your guidance and direction. Fill us with a spirit which enables us to be empowered to live in the freedom which Jesus won for us upon the cross. And so, please, Father, use us in these days to bring glory to your name and to bring forgiveness and life to others. Thank you, Lord. Amen.